The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show with Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels there. And now, a man who does things because he can. Here's Nate.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Thanks for your patience last week. Had a little episode with my dad's health that I found out about an hour before we're supposed to start recording. So thank you everybody for being patient and understanding in the cancellation from last week. Get to relive some shows from the past.
Good.
Which is exciting because we got 300 week coming up.
Dun, dun, dun.
300 week coming up. I think we said the week of the 20th. Is that a Monday? And so here's what's going to happen for everybody who everybody wants to know. 300th episode's coming up on Monday of that week. There will be a show with myself, Larry Mead, and Mel Gelbart, the original cast of the show.
Woo-hoo.
On Wednesday, we're going to drop another episode with myself, Christiana, Becca, and Ted, the second cast of the show. And then on Friday, the current cast will drop 300. So it is a 300 week here on the Nate Darling Show. So rather than doing I was going to do like a long 3-hour thing, and I'm like, no one wants that. So we're going to split it up throughout the week. Already recorded with Larry and Mel last week. It was a grand amount of fun. We get to find out how Larry's gay destination wedding ended up with him not being married at all.
What?
Yeah. See? I got some good stuff. We'll find out which body parts Mel doesn't have anymore. And they both have some dating advice for Diana. So it's all going to be good times.
Oh, wow.
Diana is here. She is eating some Chipotle between shows. So we're going to start without her. Sam is not here. He has to work because, well, he's got to make money somewhere. He may look like a hippie who doesn't care, but he's still got to make money to go down to Brazil and spread his cult, the word of his cult around down there. Coming up in July or whatever it is. So let's start out with this. Kareem, how have you been, my friend?
Jobless.
Yeah. Any leads out there? Anything promising?
Well, I got contacted by a recruiter for a job for the company I was working for.
Okay.
And then I didn't hear anything from him. The way he made it sound, he made it sound like I was going to hear something soon from the hiring manager, but then I didn't hear from her. And then, so I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe that ship has sailed. And then he contacted me last week to say that she's been traveling.
Ah.
So I still haven't heard from her. So
you're just in limbo right now.
I'm in limbo right now. And then last week was my last week at the spa.
Okay.
So I had to get out of there. Too much estrogen.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in the industry.
The place where I go to get massages, and I don't go that often, but my girlfriend brought me there for the first time, so now that's just where I go. Mostly because it's just like a one, you call up and go, hey, I want an appointment for a massage. You go and get one massage, you're out. It's not one of those deals where you have to buy a package and all this other stuff. So, and I like the people there, and it's fine. So, but yeah, there's like one guy on staff there. I believe his name is Raymond.
I believe it. You kind of need it to kind of balance things out, but
well, yeah, because I mean, there are people who would who prefer male massage therapists because they're tend to be stronger.
Yeah.
And so when you want a stronger person rather than a bonier elbow jammed into that knot in your back, because that's the trade-off.
Yeah.
You've either got a guy with really strong hands or the chick is going to put that bony elbow further into that knot in your back.
Exactly.
And you got to figure out which one you want.
And being a male therapist is kind of rough because you have to deal with men and their insecurities, and you have to deal with women and their insecurities.
Right.
You have to deal with everybody's insecurities.
Male men and their insecurities be like, I would prefer not to have a male massage therapist.
Yes.
Thanks.
Or I had a woman who had to lie to her boyfriend about how much she enjoyed her massage after she left.
I got a massage one time, Kareem. You'll like this. It was an African-American woman who was doing it. And I thought she was doing a really good job because she was really working it hard. And I left, and I'm like, it feels like you loosened everything up. I got up the next morning, and I'm like, I'm a little sore. And I turned around. I looked over my shoulder in the mirror, and I had from my trapezius right here down to in a V on my back bruising. Where she had worked my back. I had a bruise-shaped V on my back, and I'm like, sweet Jesus.
You asked for a deep tissue massage.
No, I didn't. It was a Swedish massage, and she's like, well, how hard do you want to go? And I said, well, you're the expert. You tell me. I'm like, it's a Swedish massage, so I'm like, it's only going to be so hard.
Right.
So I'm just like, you're the expert. You tell me what you do what you need to do to get the knots out of my back.
Okay, a Swedish massage is not designed to get the knots out of your back.
Well, yes.
Wait, what's it designed for?
It's relaxing.
Yeah. So I'm just like, you can feel my back. Do what you feel like you need to do.
That's your fault.
Because if she's feeling knots, she's going to, like, if you feel a knot, you're like, you really need to take care of this.
Yeah. If you tell a massage therapist, do what you need to do, then they're going to fix you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was fixed.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad.
Yeah.
It was just shocking that I looked around. I'm like, what? Because that's never. I've been probably 5 or 6 times, and that's the only time I've ever had a bruise.
Yeah.
And
because actually, if you get a deep tissue massage, you're actually tearing tissue.
Yeah. I've gotten a sports massage.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a Swedish massage. I've not gotten a deep tissue massage. So I'm afraid I'll cry.
Sounds like you got the beginnings of one.
It sounds like I did.
Sounds like you got both, actually. You got the double package there.
But if you didn't say, and the other thing, one of the things that I hate is that you tell people, okay, if this is uncomfortable, or let me know if it hurts,
yeah.
And then they don't say anything.
Right.
And then after they leave the room, then they complain that your massage was too hard. It was like, okay, I told you to tell me if it was too rough.
Yeah, and I didn't feel like she was that rough when she was doing it. It's just and like I said, I walked out and I'm like, wow, it feels really good. It was just I woke up the next morning and I rolled over and I'm like, why does my back hurt like that? It's weird. Yeah. And that's just what it was like.
Yeah. You find out a lot of interesting things about people during massage.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like they can't follow simple directions.
I blame the music.
Yeah. Is it the music?
Yes.
So you bring him in the room. He's like, okay, get undressed, put your clothes in the chair, get on the bed, face down under the sheet, and you pull the sheet back, and then you'll walk back in the room, and they'll be on top of the sheet.
Aww. Ass cheeks out to the world?
Yes.
Oh, come on. That's just terrible.
He's like, I told you to get under the sheet. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to do that.
I'm ready. No, that's the thing. I was just working in customer service. I feel like any job that you work with people, you realize that most people really don't know simple directions.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
And it's just like, I feel like, am I being an elitist for thinking you're an idiot? Or like, is this like, should I lower my standards across the board?
And then they get mad at you because they didn't follow
the
directions.
Yeah, it's not my fucking fault.
Well, it was interesting, but I got my first sports massage because I'd had the Swedish massage, and I said, I think I get a sports massage. And the massage therapist I worked with there said, okay, if you do, you're going to have to leave your underwear on because no amount of folding and covering is going to keep your junk undercover. We start doing the stretching for the sports massage.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That
because that's like leg. I'm going to push your leg up as far as it'll go. And, you know, so if you're a guy, your balls are going to be out.
Yeah.
So
that is true.
So she gave me the heads up ahead of time. Ace, get out. Get down. Dress down. Sorry. Had to yell at the cat. You have to be menacing or it won't work. So it was good to know going in because I didn't, you know, you want to make sure I've got some like not spandex but like the kind that you would wear if you're going to go running underneath.
Yeah.
Wear those, and then that worked out great.
Yeah,
because she told me, oh, you're going to have to leave your underwear on, so I didn't roll in there in my boxer shorts at the end of the day, the cotton boxers, because that would have been the same.
Yeah, and I usually do that with people, like if we're going to do stuff like that, we're like, okay. Wear some loose-fitting shorts or shirt, yeah, you don't necessarily need that. But, like, I usually will tell women, like, okay, wear some loose-fitting shorts because I'm going to move you around. And if I move you around in certain places, certain things might come
out.
Out. if you don't want me to see that, do what I told you.
Right. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm going to see your vag.
Yes.
It's going to happen. Diana, we know you lost some friends over the weekend because of Facebook. If you don't know that full story, check out the Well Hung podcast.
And in my defense,
on Monday.
It wasn't just about Facebook. It was a lot of things. But I think the Facebook thing really just triggered the, you know, when you're in a relationship and you're just like, there's some things you're like, we're different people.
Yes.
And then finally it's that one thing and you're just like, okay, no, this is really, we maxed out on how different we're allowed to be and still be friends.
So is this a friend or was this someone you were hooking up with?
No friend. I don't hook up with a lot of people at all. I ran into an old friend like last weekend because I was at a show.
Hey.
And my friend was like, oh, so you're dating anyone? I'm like, no, I don't date, really. And she was like, really? Because every time I see you, you have, like, you know, a new flavor of the week. And I'm like, that has never been the case.
No, you're just hanging out with people.
Yeah, I have friends. That's just what happens. And then I ran, right before here, I was actually at this coffee shop. And this girl was like, my friend I haven't seen in a while too, and she was like, oh, you still talking to blah blah blah? And I was like, we weren't talking. I don't understand. She's like, okay, yeah, one of just friends. I was like, oh my god, what do people think of me? Like, I have friends and they all think they're like friends with benefits, and none of them have been friends with benefits.
Maybe they think that that's the only way that people will be your friend.
or they're giving you credit for having game.
No, I don't. I haven't got any, so there's no game.
Again, you're going to want to listen to the Monday episode on 300 Week.
So either they think you're putting out keep people around.
Yeah, they think like there's like something going on. Game. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Like, there's nothing. We're just friends, and I just have a lot of different friends.
Sure.
And people think that, like, you know, it's something more, and they're like, yeah. I was like, man, you make me sound like a player, like a bad person. And they're like, no, I'm kind of proud of you. That means you have hella game. I'm like, I don't have game. I have not gotten laid in like a year and 2 months.
Cobwebs.
Mm. Yeah. So like what? I mean, it's not accurate. And then I feel like the people that I want to get to know, they think I'm a player because my friends see me as a player. And then I don't actually get to meet the people that I want to date.
So basically, you haven't gotten laid since you started doing the podcast?
Cobwebs.
Fuck, you're right.
That's about the timing. Listen, that's not an excuse because
you're gonna open her legs and gonna be like,
you guys are dicks.
Some bat flies out of there.
Such assholes.
All of a sudden, you hear Madonna.
Hello. Fucking Madonna.
Going on now, man.
Shit.
This past weekend, I went to San Francisco. Went to take in my Angels and the Giants, and it was a disappointing baseball weekend. I don't want to talk about that part of it. But
you're the only one, by the way, on my newsfeed that mentioned anything about baseball that day.
Well, you have a terrible group of friends.
Exactly. Why do you think I'm defriending a lot of
you
them?
You need to get some friends
you
who like baseball.
You said Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly. The only person.
Dude, I'm not talking Saturday night. It was an afternoon
No,
game.
Even the Saturday. Yeah, Saturday, the whole day.
Do you know how much shit was going on Saturday?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Of course I do. There was rounds 4 through 7 of the NFL draft. There was some fight that didn't live up to expectations. And what was the other thing? What am I missing?
Game 7 of Spurs. Clippers series.
Spurs Clippers. Yeah, that would be the only one at that time of
the Kentucky Derby.
I saw Kentucky Derby than baseball.
Here's the thing. My feed, I had all of that. I had all of that on my feed. Baseball.
And the Yankees and the Red Sox.
That's baseball.
Yeah.
But I had very little Kentucky Derby, very little Pacquiao Mayweather until much later in the night.
Nah.
So Saturday, go to the game. And all I have at the game, because it was just sort of weird timing for eating, was I had some nachos and an $11.50 beer.
What? How much were the nachos?
The nachos, I don't remember how much the nachos were.
Were they 12?
The nachos were like $9.
They're cheaper than the beer, dear God.
Yeah, they're cheaper than the beer. And I am slightly lactose intolerant. And it's never been an issue with cheese. It's only been an issue with like milk and ice cream and stuff like that. Yeah. And I've got Lactaid that I take and whatever. I didn't bring any with me this weekend. So I have the nachos at the game, and we leave, the game ends. We're headed back to the hotel, and we stop at 21st Amendment Brewery, and they've got fried cheese curds. By the way, the best fried cheese curds I have ever had. The best beer batter I have ever had.
This does really? Not sound like it's going to end well. It's,
I want to go get some cheese curds, though.
Don't skip ahead. Don't skip ahead. So I'm in there, and I'm eating them, and they're fucking fantastic. I posted a picture on Facebook. Everybody's like, oh, my God, those look amazing. They were amazing. So we get back to the hotel. Leslie had traveled all week. She got back into town late on Friday night at like 11 o'clock. And we left at 9:30 in the morning to go to San Francisco. So she got back to the hotel room, laid down on the bed, and fell asleep immediately. Immediately. And I'm like, all right, whatever. She needs sleep. No big deal. I'm just sort of hanging out. And then I notice I'm starting to feel a little gassy. Not a big deal. It's a little gassy. By the time we got to the middle of the night, my back felt like someone had made fists and was doing push-ups on my kidneys.
Ooh. What?
And my stomach felt worse.
What the fuck?
It was so bad.
They didn't get none Saturday night.
Incorrect, my friend, because I am a player, and a player plays through pain.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
and by the way, it didn't really kick in until it was well after that when it really kicked in. It was like wake me up every hour sort of pain.
Oh.
And like I would get into a position and I would get comfortable and I'd fall asleep, and then I'd move a little bit in my sleep, and then I would cramp up all over again and be like, ah. I went to the bathroom. I took a dump, like, I kid you not, 4 times. Overnight.
Oh, I believe it.
I got no sleep at all.
Are you and Leslie still together?
Yes, we are. I woke her up in the middle of the night because I let her sleep beforehand. I woke her up at like 3 in the morning, and I'm like, I need you to rub my back because I am in so much pain right now.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
That's so cute. That's so romantic.
And here,
it was not romantic.
It was sweet. And here's the other thing. At no point did she go, you are such a fucking idiot for doing that. which is one of the reasons why I'm very lucky to have her as my girlfriend, because every relationship I've been in before, it would have been just a whole litany of, you should have known better. You know what that is. Why did you do that? You did this to yourself. Why are you waking me up in the middle of the night? You should just suffer in silence. You did that to yourself.
I really like her. I really like her. I like her more than I like you, actually. By a lot.
Well, yeah, that's just, well, you got a shoe commission off of her once.
Yeah, but like, she seems anyone that can deal with you, I feel like deserves way more respect than how much I like you. Mm. Like, I feel like if they can deal with you and they make you that happy, I'm like, there's something special about this one.
She's very nice. I like her a lot.
None of my bitches would have done that. Actually, one did. She got recertified because of it.
But to kind of be back on the subject, I had issues like that until I had the ear infection, and then they gave me the antibiotics for the ear infection.
And it cleared up your lactose thing?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It cleared up.
So like, maybe you should look into
the stomach
that.
Issues I had, it cleared them up.
Well, here's the fun thing. So she sends me a message today. She goes, what's your mailing address? What's your physical address? So I send it to her. I'm like, why? And she sends me, she goes, by the way, you have an appointment with Dr. So-and-so on this date. Don't miss the appointment. And I'm like, what am I supposed to tell? Tell them about how you sleep and anything else that's a problem. What do you mean how I sleep? I sleep unconscious. That's how I sleep. I lay down, all of a sudden I'm unconscious.
She's like, I went in that bathroom after you. I wanted to make sure we cleared that up.
Let me tell you, there was so much oil in that cheese, there was no smell. It just flew right out. It was fine.
Ew. That's so cute. You made an appointment.
Yes.
I'm thinking this is the cutest fucking thing ever. And you guys are all like, no, this is sad. This is a tragedy. This is a rom-com.
Well, and she's been wanting to have me go to the doctor for a while now. I've been resisting because here's the first thing that's going to happen. The doctor's going to look at me and go, you need to lose some weight. And I'll be like, no shit. What else you got? What else you got?
What's like, wrong with your sleeping?
16 prescriptions. What's wrong with my sleeping? I don't know that there's anything wrong with my sleeping. I wake up probably a couple times a night and go take a leak.
Do you have?
Oh, that's your.
Do
pee.
You have sleep apnea?
I might have a touch of it. I don't know though.
Oh, that's scary.
Do you snore?
I don't know. I'm asleep. I think so.
What
probably.
Have other people told you?
Does she roll you on your side?
Oh, no. She snores worse than I do.
Oh, wow.
And she falls asleep first.
Oh, wow.
So that's not a thing.
She is a keeper.
Yeah. Well, that's why I fall asleep. I just hear, and then I'm out.
No, because if
oh,
she...
Oh, that's so cute, you guys.
If she can fall asleep before you, that means she can turn off her mind, which most women can't.
That's true.
A lot of nonsensical chatter going on up there.
Oh, dude, that is... That's true though.
Yeah. I'm not going to deny that.
That is why. Look, you probably your two exes are probably cussing you out because you wouldn't sleep before them.
But I didn't though. They would go to bed hours before I did.
But that's different. There's a difference between
There's a difference.
Yeah, there's a difference. I'm with Kareem.
They would go to bed before you.
Yes,
but they won't fall asleep.
But they wouldn't go to sleep.
Oh no, but they were. They were out cold. They were out cold. Like, they would go to bed. They'd be out cold. I would go in, and they'd be like, you woke me up. You were snoring. I'm like.
Yeah, no, they're not asleep.
They're not asleep.
Exactly. We're on the same fucking page. Kareem, I got you, boy. We're on the same page. They weren't sleeping, because when you get in, they're just awake enough to feel the change, and so they can bitch at you later. Like, they are.
They're not asleep.
Well, they did, so there's that.
I'm just, that's how
that's how that shit works.
I'm telling you.
Anyway, I have an appointment coming up with the doctor at the end of the month.
I woke up one night to, I hate you. Like, what the fuck? And it was because I got in bed and went to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Bad, you son of a bitch.
Because you woke her up.
No, because I went to sleep and she couldn't go to sleep because she couldn't turn off her mind.
Here's another reason why my girlfriend is a keeper. She tells me, by the way, and I've had this happen before too. By the way, I had a dream last night. You cheated on me and you weren't very nice to me. She drops that on me. Now, I've had that dropped on me by virtually everybody I've been in a relationship with. I had a dream that you cheated on me. She is the first person that was not outwardly upset with me in real life because of her dream.
Dream, yeah.
So that you know that one too.
I know that one too. Every man knows that one.
It's like, I had a dream that you were a dick last night and I'm mad at you. What? I didn't do anything. It was your dream.
I dreamt you were fucking my sister. Like, I don't even like your sister. I know, but I'm still mad about it.
It was a hate fuck. I was like, going,
what the hell?
Diana, lesbian point of view on this. I know it's going back a while, but
yeah, it's going back a long time. That's what I'm trying to think. I'm like, I've had. Well, the only thing that I can relate to that is that the first girl I dated was like, she was trying to make me jealous, and mm-hmm. I'm not a jealous person, so. She got all mad at me for not being jealous because that meant I didn't care enough about her.
That is exactly.
That's all.
That is such
but
a woman.
I never had the dream thing because the one girl that I used to sleep with, when we would actually sleep together, she never had a dream. Like, it was always like, I don't know. I don't remember, but then I could be blocking it out.
Yes.
But that fucking jealousy thing, I hate that so much. After that, I'm like, why am I a lesbian? Like, bitches are crazy.
Oh, I got one even better for you.
Go.
Oh, we're not going to have sex. Okay, that's cool.
Oh, no, no.
What you mean that's cool?
Are you cheating on me? Don't you want me anymore? Yeah, I had something like that happen,
like,
too.
Well, wait a minute. You said we weren't going to do it. No, this was like a first date.
Oh, wow.
We're not going to have... Okay, that's cool. What do you mean? What, you don't want me?
Yeah, no, it goes fucking crazy.
Like, well,
bitches
yeah, I do, but you, I'm not going to take the pussy.
Yeah, like, that's wrong. Like, I would feel creeped out if you're like, no, that's not a thing. Like, no, it's going to happen. I'm like, what the fuck?
No, we're fucking.
Oh,
like,
my
wait
God.
A minute. Like, what do you want me to say?
You know, you're, whatever you say, I, like, the last like semi relationship I was in, like whatever I said was completely wrong all the fucking time, and it got to the point where I didn't want to talk anymore. Like if I did stuff. Like, okay, so when we're talking about the food poisoning thing, like, she got mad at me because I went to the bathroom and I didn't wake her up. And okay. She thought I was going to go throw up. She wanted to take care of me, so she was mad that I was about to do my own business by myself. And I was like, I have to go take a shit. I don't need you to watch that. Like, I don't understand. So she got mad at me because I didn't wake her up to tell her I was going to go take a shit.
Come here. You're going to want to see this.
Yeah. And then she was like, well, are you lying to me? I'm like, no, I'm not lying to you. Why do you think I didn't open the door? I'm not fucking lying to you.
Like, you want to go smell?
Yeah. And she was like yelling at me through the door. And I'm just like, this is the most, I'm sick. I have food poisoning right now. And I'm being yelled at because I won't let her take, I didn't wake her up to let her take care of me. She woke up because she turned over and I wasn't there. So she was mad at me for not being there because I got to go to the bathroom because I was sick.
Yeah. That's a rough one.
Yeah, I almost caught a case for something like that because I was I had a migraine, and you know, if you ever had a migraine, all you want to do is sleep somewhere quiet.
Yeah,
and so I did that, and then the girl I was seeing, she got mad because I woke up in the middle of the night and I was okay, but then she was like, I don't even know what she was mad about.
Yeah, we don't. You'll never know.
But I was like, you know what? When she started the argument, and I was like, you know, I had a fucking migraine. I'm going back to sleep. And I, like, rolled over. And she took her fingernail and stuck it, like, in the meaty part of my back. And, like,
oh no. Like,
went all the way up.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, my God, I am going to jail tonight. Yeah. And this was, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, like, in November.
Oh.
And she was like, don't turn your back on me. And I was like, look, if you do that again, I am going to jail tonight. And I rolled back over, and she did it again. And then I had to get, like, nose to nose with her to let her know how serious I was about this. I was like, I have never hit a woman before in my life, but you are about to be the first. Mm. And she got up, and she went outside. And it was, like, November, like, 40 degrees outside.
Fuck. See, I don't understand. People just need to, like, draw the line. That's why I'm scared to date again. So I'm interested in this 300 week with this dating advice. We'll see what's up. I'm just like, no, can we just fuck and just do our own thing? Like, that's it. And I don't have to deal with...
Well, you got half the pussy in the equation. You get to decide. That's usually how it works.
Yeah. Y'all decide really? That. Yeah.
But don't I like it to be consensual.
Yeah.
But... No. It's not a matter of being consensual or not. Because... when you're talking about a heterosexual couple, 99% of the time, the guy's like, yeah, absolutely, I want to have sex. So,
and it doesn't necessarily have to be with you.
and so the one with the pussy gets to decide, are we having sex tonight? Yes, I would like to have sex tonight. Because the other person's going to go, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm the dude, and I need a girl that won't give me stress or, like, fucking yell at me for random shit to do that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's frustrating to me. No. I'm just like, oh.
I would love to feel bad for you on that, but...
But
that's the way it goes. So...
Because there's actually a joke that I'm working on now. Like, yeah. Like, y'all don't really want to know what we're thinking, because you'd be like, oh, do you want to fuck? Like, yeah, I really want to fuck.
Where do you know, like, what you're thinking?
Yeah, but the other part of what you don't know that we're thinking is that we just would fuck anybody. We don't care. It doesn't necessarily have to be.
At a certain point, if it's too much hassle, we'd rather just beat off.
Yeah. And God. If it's too, yeah.
I feel like you guys have it so easy.
And then, yeah, oh, yeah, it's so easy.
And then after you turn, like, a certain age, like, okay, like, until you're about 28, you'll do anything to get the pussy.
Mm-hmm.
We will jump through all kinds of hoops.
Mm-hmm.
And then after about 28, we're like, it's not worth it. Go ahead. Watch your business.
That's true.
Yeah, there is a range on that. So yeah. I look forward to that for you.
Fuck.
And then they really get crazy when you're like, oh, that's okay. You're like, what do you mean? What's wrong with me?
That's not a feeling like no.
All right. So speaking of women, Bruce Jenner announced that he is a woman. Did you guys, either of you, watch any of the interview?
Oh, of course. I watched it.
I didn't watch it.
I was riveted to the whole thing.
It was really good.
It was. It was. And let me ask you, Diana, what did you find to be, for lack of a better term, the coolest part of the whole two-hour thing?
Because
I know for me what it is.
My favorite part was when Bruce was like, I'm not a spokesperson.
Okay.
I'm like, this is all new to me. He was really, at that point, I thought it was like him being really vulnerable and being like, you know, this is me. This is who I am. I understand my position, but I know it's kind of like not fair for everyone to put so much pressure on me. And I am, but I'm accepting my responsibility in who I am and reaching out to other groups to see how we can make it better for the trans community. So I really respect how open and vulnerable he was. And that, and to me, that point was when, because I feel like a lot of celebrities get a lot of shit. They're expected to be all these role models and a spokesperson for certain things. And they're just like, I'm just doing my job and I'm trying to make a living like everyone else. But in addition to that, like, just because I was given this pedestal doesn't mean I'm going to be good at it or I know what to do with it. So I really respected him in saying that, because to me, that was kind of the most important thing, because I feel like there was a lot of pressure. I put pressure on him that was unnecessary.
For me, the coolest part was when all four of his kids from his earlier marriages showed up to be interviewed on camera to show their support.
That, oh my God, I was crying when that happened.
That was
so awesome.
I was like, that, you know what that is? That is a parent who, and there, it's been long documented that he was sort of absentee with wife number one and wife number two at a certain point, and wasn't around all the time, and has made efforts, you know, later on to make sure that, you know, to apologize to his kids for when he wasn't there and to try and make things up for them. And for all of them to show up and to show their support like that was just mind-blowing. Just really mind-blowing and just so cool, because it just means that's a good person. When your kids show up like that, and both of his ex-wives prior to Kris Jenner sent in statements saying, very supportive of Bruce and his journey and everything that's going on with that. I'm like, this is somebody who has left a trail of goodness behind them and not somebody who's burned a bunch of bridges and acted like a prick.
Yeah. This whole interview really showed his character. And I think him being, and this is why I'm okay with him being, you know, kind of the spokesperson in essence, because that's what I think people who are transphobic don't understand, that transphobic people are people and they are good people. And he is like, for him and his kids to do that, like, a lot of kids could have just walked away and been like, no.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Especially for someone like for them, when in the first two marriages where their dad was pretty absent. But for them, he helped raise good people, even if it was later. We don't know their lives, but he's leaving. Not only is he a good person, he's leaving other good people behind. Like, that's very admirable.
So let's take a listen a little bit.
I've been thinking about this day forever. And what I should do with my life. How do I tell my story? How do I tell people, you know, what I've been through? And that day is today. I need the tissues. Yeah, it's gonna be kind of tough, but today's the day. Be honest with myself. Obviously, I've been honest with my family, everybody involved. It's been really tough. But here I am. I'm still here. That's the good news. Anyway. Okay, where do we start? One thing that's so important in this whole process, okay, is we have to keep our sense of humor about this, okay? It's honestly, it's really pretty funny. Me, of all people, okay, Bruce Jenner, you know, has to deal with these issues, literally running away from all of this stuff.
An irony and an answer.
So Bruce Jenner is?
I would say I've always been very confused with my gender identity since I was this big.
The simple explanation he gave his children.
I tried to explain it because I've had all my kids sitting in that chair. And I've tried to explain it to them this way. God's looking down, making little Bruce. Okay? He's looking down and he says, okay, what do we got?
By the way, great drinking game. Every time he says okay,
take a shot. What
am I going to do with this one? Make him a smart kid, very determined. Down, he gave me all these wonderful qualities. And then at the end, when he's just finishing, he goes, wait a second. We got to give him something. Everybody has stuff in their life that they have to deal with. You know, what are we going to give him? And God looks down and chuckles a little bit and goes,
You know, hey, let's give him the soul of a female and let's see how he deals with that.
So that's kind of how it played out.
I get why. I don't keep up with the Kardashians, but I get why Bruce is like a favorite. And him, just like the way you handle it, it's like, yeah, keep your sense of humor. I mean, there's not a lot that you can.
What everybody forgets about that show is when it first launched, no one knew anything about these people other than the ex-husband was one of the OJ lawyers that Kim had a sex tape. Bruce Jenner was part of the credibility of actually getting this show on the air and being like, hey, this is a former Olympic great as the dad in this whole crazy family.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing. And they explain how that's how it started. And it sort of faded out after a couple of seasons. And allegedly of the Kardashian girls, Kim is handling it best because Kanye gave her good advice.
Of course, Kanye.
So for a moment, I had to not hate Kanye. Do you have any idea how much that pained me,
oh
Diana?
Oh, my God. It was so funny because when that happened, all my friends and I, we just looked at each other and were like, okay, not gonna lie, we can be either way where we are just gonna think this whole thing is a joke or that Kanye is a good person. Like, I don't need
told him. y'all gotta listen to the whole speeches he gives as opposed to
nobody
the
has that
bite.
Much time, Kareem. He just talks and talks and talks.
No, I think Kanye is a smart man. I'm
yes.
not discrediting that. I also think he's an asshole, but he's a brilliant businessman. And I respect
most
that.
Brilliant businessmen are assholes.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I'm torn.
But most of them don't
saying?
Use auto-tune. At least that much.
That's true.
But he still made that much money, so fuck it.
Hey, speaking of Kanye, when he and his wife Kim went out on the red carpet at the 2015 Time 100 Gala in New York City, Amy Schumer, the blonde comedian who is somewhat attractive, Kareem, attractive, Amy Schumer, you think?
She's doable.
She's all right. She thought it would be funny to take a dive in front of them. And when I first saw it, I'm like, what is she doing? Because I thought when I first saw this headline, I thought she was going to get down on them like Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World and go, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. And that would have been funny to me. She just fell down like she tripped.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed.
And then she was kind of looked like she was crawling next to him or something.
No, she was supposed to like faint, kind of like that.
Yeah.
She was starstruck and fell in front of them because that was her prank. And I was like, I was so disappointed. I was like seeing how Amy's killing it on stage, how she's killing it with these sketches and this music video. And then she does this and I'm like, really?
Yeah.
This is.
And Kanye, you see them both looking down and they're like, what is this nonsense?
Yeah. This bitch. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And that's the thing. She, I watched the first episode of being Amy Schumer or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was great.
Inside Amy Schumer.
Inside Amy Schumer. And it was like the whole show was great. So it was like, why would you, like, you're better than that at this point.
She's apparently brilliant if you give her enough time to come up with something.
Yeah.
But not off the cuff.
Yeah. Apparently.
Speaking of which, I have a little bit of a sketch from Inside Amy Schumer called Football Town Nights. And we...
Oh, yeah.
So we'll pick this up in the middle when the coach is giving his... New coach is giving his first speech to the kids in the locker room.
Now, I'm not sure what you heard about me, but I do things a little different than y'all are used to here in Stouffer's Heights. This season, we're going to be the first team in the county to run a no-huddle offense.
What?
You don't like that? You can just look at my 14-2 record Northeast last year. Second, we do two-a-days every day. Mm-hmm. And third, and I just need you to go with me on this one.
No way. But, Coach, we play football.
My team, my rules. You don't like it? Don't let the door rape you on the way out.
Can we rape it away games?
Nope.
What if it's Halloween and she's dressed like a sexy cat?
Nope.
What if she thinks it's rape, but I don't?
Still no.
What about, like, a sexy ladybug?
Yeah. Nope.
A ghost? What about a sexy owl? Sexy transformer?
What if my mom is the DA and won't prosecute? Can I rape?
No, you cannot.
What if she's drunk and has a slight reputation and no one's gonna believe her?
That ain't allowed.
Okay. The girl said yes to me. the other day, but it was about something else.
No.
What if the girl said yes, but then she changes her mind out of nowhere? Like a crazy person.
You gotta stop.
No, you gotta stop!
So it goes on from there. Check it. It's on Comedy Central. That whole sketch is on YouTube.
That was really funny. I love her so much.
It's over 5 minutes long.
She's been killing it this year.
And that sketch and the sketch with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes.
And Tina Fey and...
Oh, yeah. The fuckable age or whatever.
Fuckable age.
Yeah. Yes. That was good.
Yeah. She's hilarious.
Those two are still
or her writers are hilarious.
Yeah,
let's not dismiss that for a moment.
Yeah,
because everybody goes, "Oh my god, you are so funny!" But you forget how many writers go into making a TV show.
Yeah, I like her stand up too, which is why I'll give her props. But you're right, the writers do.
Remember how hilarious the Chris Rock show was? You know who wrote that?
Louis
C.K. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
Louis C.K. is the funniest black man on the planet.
I remember hearing that. Yes. That was the funniest thing I heard.
What was him, Wanda Sykes? I think Mario Edwards.
So before you give all the credit in the world to the host of a show for being the funniest person on the planet, take a look into their writing staff and then see how they do in ad-libbing situations. Robin Williams was hilarious.
Yeah.
You threw him out there, threw anything at him, he would react immediately. That dude was funny and he was on it. He did not rely on his writers. Other people, they do. Hey, you know who relies on writers? Actors like Ben Affleck. And this is a little bit old now, but I wanted to talk about it. He didn't want people to know that one of his distant ancestors owned slaves. He went so far as to lobby a celebrity genealogy TV show, Finding Your Roots, to suppress the segment in which the ancestor is discussed. But Gawker got a copy of the script. In his episode, Finding Your Roots, stupid cat, just jumped on the key. No! He's going to jump on the keyboard. He's going to stop the recording. I'm not insane, people. There's a cat.
I don't see it.
No, he's not.
In his episode of Finding Your Roots, he shared with actor Candy Alexander and former NAACP president Ben Jealous. It's quite a name. Affleck learns a great deal about his family, including his mother and a great-great-great-grandfather, Almond Bruce French, a spiritualist and occultist. But there was one family member that Affleck wanted to keep hidden, which was a great-great-great-grandfather, Benjamin Cole, who was a Savannah slave owner in the mid-19th century. Sometime after the show was filmed, Affleck contacted the host, Henry Louis Gates, to request that the short, gentle interview about Cole be cut from the show. In the episode, which aired back in October, they discussed the spiritualist forebear before the show cuts directly to a new segment with Alexander. But a picture-locked copy of the script from June, obtained by Gawker, shows that the segment about his slave-owning predecessor would have appeared between. Here is what he didn't want you to see. At the same time that Allman was trying to offer the bereaved solace, another of Ben's ancestors was living 800 miles due south. We learned that his life had also been very fundamentally affected by the Civil War, but for very different reasons. This man was Ben's third great-grandfather, Benjamin Cole. He was living in Savannah, Georgia at the time. Cole was one of Savannah's most prominent citizens, a wealthy landowner, and the sheriff of an entire county. So they go through this, and Ben goes, "That's amazing. We have a house in Savannah."
It was a slave.
The response was, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Did it ever occur to you that you had deep roots there?" And Affleck goes, "No, it didn't. I didn't at all. I had no idea we had any southern roots at all, so that's remarkable." It continues, "Cole owned a large farm in Georgia at the time when slave labor had made the state the center of the South's cotton kingdom. We wanted to see if we could learn how Ben's ancestor felt about this particular institution. For that, we started with the 1850 census." Uh-oh. So the host goes, "This is a slave schedule of the 1850 census. In 1850, they would list the owners of slaves in the separate census." Then Affleck says, "That's Benjamin Cole, owned 25 slaves. And then he goes, "Yes, your third great-grandfather owned 25 slaves. He was a slave owner."
I think they gave him hints all along the way.
Yeah.
Like, It was 18 something or other.
Yeah, it's not.
He
it's
was
not like
in Savannah, Georgia. You think he might own some slaves?
Maybe. So
he's the sheriff of a whole county. Does that ring any bell for you?
Well, here's the other thing. He owned 25 slaves, but apparently only, and I didn't know this either, only about 10% of all slaveholders owned 20 slaves or more.
Oh, shit.
To which Ben replied, God, it kind of gives me a sagging feeling to see a biological relationship to that. But, you know, there it is, part of our history.
Oh, poor guy. Oh, how else would you handle that, though? Like, I think he handled it well. It wasn't like he was hella proud about it and shit.
Yeah, but the fact that he went tried to go back and hide it was where...
Oh, you should see the bitch who the cook what? Who got kicked off her television.
Oh, Paula Deen.
Paula Deen, yeah. She tried to do something like that too when they did her Finding Your Roots.
That was her dad.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
She's older.
Yeah, but she was trying to hide or trying to make light of it or make it.
Yeah, no, you don't gloss over that. You go, oh my God, Jesus, I didn't know that. That's terrible.
Hella funny.
Ben.
How do you do a? How do you write a script for a movie and not understand? Hey, it's 1820. Your uncle owns.
Did you not see Django?
How do you not put two and two together before they tell you?
He's not the smartest one. All right, so it's not just here in America that people are terrible. In England, there was a man who at a couple of years ago caused Quentin Tarantino to throw a fit. Well, this same gentleman, I'll use the term gentleman, his name is, where can I find it? Christian Guru Murphy. He appears to be of Indian descent, but he's British. Was sat down with Robert Downey Jr. to talk about the Avengers.
You know, in a way that you are as well, I suppose.
Sure.
I mean, what I'd really like to ask you about a quote you gave to the New York Times. And I don't want to pry, so if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine.
So this is 4 minutes into a 7-minute interview. They've been talking about the Avengers and and he goes, I'd love to ask you about a few other things. And then Robert Downey Jr. starts looking around, like, what's going on here?
But what you said to the New York Times once was, It was after your incarceration, and you said you can't go from a $2,000 a night hotel suite to a penitentiary and understand it and come out a liberal. And I just wondered what you meant by that.
Well, the funny thing is, and I appreciate your point of view, things that you said 5-7 years ago or things you said in an interview that made sense to you at the time, I could pick that apart for 2 hours and be no closer to the truth than I'd be giving you some half-assed answer right now. I couldn't even really tell you what a liberal is. So therein lies the answer to your question.
The statement sort of stands by itself, doesn't it? I mean, does that...
Basically, the answer to the question was, fuck off.
Pretty much.
But he continues.
Being you're not a liberal, or that you came out of prison not being a liberal.
Are we promoting a movie? To me, the thing is that I'm certainly not going to backpedal on anything I've said, but I wouldn't say I'm a Republican or a liberal or a Democrat. I think when I was talking to the person who was doing the interview that day, and that just happened to be my opinion. That's the nice thing, is you can have opinions and they kind of change and flow.
Yeah, well, that's life and that's growing older, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you say we're promoting an interview. I mean, promoting the movie. I mean, obviously, you're doing a promotional round of interviews, and that's why we're talking about the movie. But we also would like to talk a little bit about you, and I don't know how comfortable you are, you know, talking about yourself at the moment.
Have as much time as anyone else will.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, then let me just ask you a few more questions, and you can answer them if you want to, and not if you don't want to. I mean, well, I think we've got three more minutes on our agreement.
Your foot's starting to jump a little bit. You better get to your next question.
Damn, this shit is getting like intense.
You
he went from looking around to staring a hole through the guy.
You You've talked in other interviews again about your relationship with your father and the role of all of that in, you know, the dark periods you entered and taking drugs and drinking and all of that. And I just wondered whether, you know, you think you're free of all of that, or whether that's still something.
I'm sorry,
you...
I really don't. What are we doing?
Well, I'm just asking questions. That's all.
Right.
I
mean, okay. Bye.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, you're right.
And the guy's acting all surprised that Robert Downey Jr. is like, yeah, I'm out of here now.
Why the fuck? Like, he's such a bad interviewer.
Indian assholes.
He is a fucking. That guy's a stain. If you look up his interview with Tarantino from a few years ago, he made Tarantino lose his shit. It's epically bad, and this guy is just kind of a dick.
He just sounds like he's bad at his job, but the only reason he has it because
apparently he's very good at his job because people around the world know exactly who he is. All right, let's do this real quick.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool?
All right, first up in cool or tool, Amy Schumer, Diana.
Fucking cool.
Kareem.
Usually cool.
I'll give her a cool, but she's wavering for me. You're on that line, bitch. Better step it up.
With you on that one.
Up next in cooler tool, Ben Affleck. Kareem?
He's a tool.
Diana?
Tool. Cool. I feel like his PR agent was like, you should do this. This is a good idea.
Ben Affleck, you're on the other side of the Amy Schumer thing. I think you're a tool right now. Best step over to the other side of the line. And finally, in cooler tool, Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man. Diana?
It was cool. That interview was a tool.
Kareem?
And since I finally watched Iron Man last night, it's cool.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is cool. He showed a lot of patience with that guy. He didn't just get up and be like, oh, fuck you, dude.
Exactly.
He was very patient. He gave the non-answer, just saying, look, I'm uncomfortable with this. I don't really want to talk about this. Wrap it up. And the guy was just a dick with him, so... You know what won't fix it? A gift basket or a gift of any kind. Robert Downey Jr. will have none of that. But if you have somebody you'd like to give a gift to, maybe you need to give yourself a gift. Maybe Amazon's the place to shop for you. Maybe you go to our website first. It's NateDarlingShow.com. Maybe you click that Shop Amazon tab at the top because it helps support the show and it doesn't cost you anything extra. How about you do that? Treat yourself to something nice. You've earned it. That's a cooler tool. All right, let's see where we are with the show here. Ooh, we chatted about a lot of stuff very quickly. Got a couple of other things here that happened that didn't get a lot of press. You know, Adam Sandler has been making terrible movies for quite a while now.
Oh, God.
Dude, we tried to watch Blended last night.
Why?
Why would you do that?
Because my girlfriend wanted to record it.
Oh, okay.
Because we had free HBO Cinemax, so she wanted to record it. To see it, we watched like 15 minutes of it, and we were like, done.
Yeah.
That. I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad.
I have friends and coworkers who very much enjoy Adam Sandler's terrible movies, and they laugh at them, and they go, those are hilarious. And I beg to differ.
Yeah, we watched that. It hit every cliche that you could think of.
Yeah.
Every horrible cliche that you could think of.
How bad did you feel for Terry Crews, or was he even in the movie by the time you turned it off?
We didn't even get to that part.
That bad.
Yeah. They never left America with us.
Okay. Well, Native Americans extras on Adam Sandler's new Netflix movie. So you'll be able to see that.
Oh, it's the Netflix movie.
She's making a movie for Netflix. It's called The Ridiculous Six, walked off the set due to the film's portrayal of Native Americans. In response, Netflix defended the film as, quote, broad satire, in which those being made fun of are, quote, in on the joke. So who's right? Well, Gawker got their hands on the script. So they have the version dated 2012, so it's possible it's been revised a little bit. But the film's main character, presumably played by Sandler, is Tommy, also called Three Knives, a white man who was given up by his family and raised by Native Americans.
Oh, God, this sounds so...
He's married to a Native American woman named Smoking Fox. And the movie follows the two of them as Tommy battles a group of men called the Left Eye Gang. The scenes that cause the native actors to leave the set appear to happen within the first 15 minutes or so of the film. Extra Lauren Anthony, who spoke to Indian Country Today, described the scene involving a character named Beaver's Breath as being particularly irritating to the extras. Said, "One thing that really offended a lot of people..." No, I'm not going to do an Indian voice.
No.
"One thing that really offended a lot of people was that there was a female character called Beaver's Breath. One character says, 'Hey, Beaver's Breath,' and the native woman says, 'How did you know my name?'"
She must have been the lesbian.
Don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't. You want to do it? No.
Diana, will you do a reading with me?
No, I'm not. I'm walking off the set.
He's
fucking.
Kareem, will you play Indian Child just so we do this?
I don't have the script.
Oh, never mind then. I'll do
I'm
all the
pulling,
part.
I'm pulling it up right now, but I feel like I'm going to really regret this.
Exterior, Indian village, day. Smoking Fox and Tommy enter a ramshackle Indian village. Everyone welcomes them. A bunch of Indian children run over. Indian Child, "Did you get our sharpening stone three knives?" Tommy reaches into his pocket. "Here you go, Beaver Breath. Be careful." Indian Child, "I'm going to make my knife as sharp as yours, and my wife will have a sweet zoom zoom, just like Smoking Fox." Tommy, in mock outrage, then says, "Nobody talks about my girl's zoom zoom."
Native woman squats and pisses while smoking a peace pipe. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the extras noted a character named No Bra as being disrespectful parody of Native American names. There is no Bra in the version of the script that Gawker got, though it appears that that character's original name, Sits on Face.
That was their upgrade? No Bra from Sits on Face?
Yes. So here's the dialogue.
"Important parts blocked because this is a PG-13 movie."
So they hear noise from the village. A sexy woman comes out of her teepee, the first one awake. She stretches buck naked with important parts blocked. She waves at Tommy. "Sexy woman, morning, Three Knives. I had a dream about you last night." Tommy, "That's nice, Sits on Face." Frank, "Wow, someone's got an admirer." Sits on Face squats down behind the teepee and pees while lighting a peace pipe.
I can't believe
that's
this.
Not how you smoke a peace pipe. Those are two
not
different things.
Okay.
Well, now you know why they walked off the set.
Oh my God.
So if you thought Adam Sandler movies had reached the bottom of the barrel, Adam Sandler movies for Netflix.
Oh dear Lord.
I'm only laughing because it's so bad, not because it's funny.
I'm laughing because it's, yeah, the same reason.
So
but
you don't
to the
cry?
Point, yeah, it's so funny because, like, he actually thought this was okay. Like, someone was like, "No, this should pass. This is perfectly fine." No, I get that people are being sensitive now. I get it. But this is beyond, like, you
right.
are types of fucked up.
Oh, I'm going to bring these people in and they're going to read this. And they're not going to be upset at all.
No, this is perfectly okay.
Listen, if you see A Million Ways to Die in the West, which admittedly is not the greatest movie, although I enjoyed it a great deal, there are scenes with Native Americans, and they do sort of not the same thing, but hokey Indian name things, like, "Oh, your name is whatever." And there's a drinking of the water that gives you hallucination scene, but it's nothing like this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. Wow. So we'll see what happens with him. Some sad news for everybody. Paris Hilton suffered a great loss. Her beloved purse dog, Tinkerbell, has gone.
I thought Tinkerbell, wasn't there like a controversy that like Tinkerbell was missing and then she got a new Tinkerbell and was like, "No, Tinkerbell's still healthy, you guys." And now Tinkerbell died. I feel like it's like Shamu at SeaWorld. They just switch it out and they don't tell.
Well, Tinkerbell passed away at the age of 14, survived by Paris, who raised her as a single parent. Paris's eulogy for Tinkerbell was published on Instagram and read as follows. "My heart is broken. I'm so sad and devastated. After 14 amazing years together, my baby Tinkerbell has passed away of old age. I feel like I've lost a member of my family. She was such a special and incredible soul. We went through so much together. I can't believe she's gone. I will miss her and think about her for the rest of my life. I love you, Tinky. You're a legend and will never be forgotten." And then there's some emojis. Hashtag RIP Tinkerbell.
I'm done.
So, sad news.
I'm done.
What? You can't feel the pain of somebody who's lost a pet?
I think people have already died.
I felt bad for Paris Hilton for just a moment.
I mean, yeah, I get the whole pet thing, but I really think like she like switched out.
It might be like the third.
Yeah, the third. Yeah, exactly. I think she's just doing it because she's like, oh shit, it's been 14 years. I really think I should tell people. Like,
how dare you? You guys are terrible. All right, let's.
Was anybody else?
So terrible. Remember when Kim Kardashian was Paris Hilton's lesser known friend?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that happened
back in the day.
The big world overwhelm you? Let's get small. Small town news.
All right. This is interesting. There's a Swedish town being moved 2 miles down the road.
Because that is so necessary.
Well, it is. Because a Swedish state-owned mining company has started the process of moving the center of an Arctic town 2 miles. Kiruna, the northernmost municipality in Sweden, began the process of moving the center 2 miles to allow the ore mine to expand under the current city center. They're in the process of moving 3,000 apartments, which house about 6,000 of the city's estimated 23,000 residents. The other buildings is estimated to cost $1.4 billion, and the entire process take about 10 years. The first housing development to be moved was demolished a couple weeks ago. The residents of the development were moved to a new building only a few hundred yards from the original. The mining company said some buildings, including a century-old church, are being moved brick by brick, while others, including the historic city hall, are simply too large to move and will be replaced. Much of the new town square and business district will be ready to move in 2019. That's what city manager Peter Niemi told Radio Sweden. If everything goes as planned, but there's anything we've learned in our city planning, it's that we have to be flexible. In the worst case, there could be a delay of up to 2 years. I have no idea why the Swedish guy sounds German, but there you go. Officials said the mine had grown closer and closer to the city in recent years, and it's starting to cause cracks in the city streets. So that's why they gotta move. So it doesn't
why wouldn't fall. They like move it a little further down? I feel like 2 miles is such a waste. They should move it further down just to like be sure.
They said the cracks would only get worse as mining continues. So
they should just stop mining.
Maybe she's not mining.
Yeah.
Well, it's the state-owned mining company.
That doesn't mean.
<I don't care. laughs>
So that's it. That's small town news. I had a Gordy Little for you, but we're already at the end of the show, so. So much for that. We'll save a piece called My Fat Thumbs and Wardrobe Malfunctions for another time. Cause I have to read that. With the roots.
Oh god, Gordy Little.
So that's gonna do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Something kind of cool happened earlier today, just randomly out of nowhere. I get a notification on Twitter from this dude, Adam Wedd, WEDD. It says, "Hey Nate, just uploaded my new EP, The Art of Interruption to @AmazingTunes. Fancy playing a track?" So I went and checked it out. He's got a new little EP that he's put out. He's a singer-songwriter from England. And so I replied to him. Let's see. We'll get the whole conversation out here. This was this morning. I said, "Hey, recording this week's shows tonight. We'll close out show number 296. With Orbit, since you asked so nicely. Cheers." And he replied, "Thanks so much. Super kind. Hope you've had a great weekend." And he signed to X. So, yeah, that's why we're ending the show with a gentleman named Adam Wedd. He's from the UK. He's a singer-songwriter. And this is his new song called Orbit. You can check it out on YouTube and other places.
This is crazy.
Yeah. That's not too bad. Check it out. Your broken heart, you have never been apart. I'm a sad soul, lost in orbit. Pull my feet now back down to the ground. When my head is stuck in sound, we're slowly spinning while in that control. True adventures found down in the soul. Oh. Running through my veins. Hey. We're losing our control. Love.
right, the beginning. To no souls spinning round and round. In the tension, life is found. How to speak this so I can mean this, to tell forever the treasure that we have in the work of your back. True adventures found deep in the soul. True adventures relinquishing control. Of your soul.